way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A terrifying moment last night in Cincinnati where Buffalo Bills safety collapsed after a tackle from a cardiac arrest. Players from both teams watched as medics gave him CPR to restore his heartbeat. But this morning, he's still fighting for his life in a hospital. WKRC reporter Chelsea Sick has the latest.
Well, very sad, eerie morning outside of UC Medical Center as we do wait for an update on DeMar Hamlin's condition. The last update we got was just before 2 o'clock this morning. The Bills tweeted that he did suffer cardiac arrest during that game and is sedated and in critical condition.
Hamlin is just 24 years old. This morning, millions of people in several states are bracing for severe weather. Correspondent Jim Krasula has details.
Severe storms yesterday caused damage in parts of Louisiana, Arkansas, and Mississippi. More strong storms will target the mid and deep south today. The storms will also dump heavy rain. There have been high water rescues in parts of Tennessee and
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Many schools around Wisconsin starting late today or not at all because of a potentially dangerous mix of rain, sleet, and snow this morning. The wintry mix causes slippery conditions on roads, parking lots, and sidewalks. Snow is in the forecast for tonight. Depending on where you are, you could get 1 to 3 inches. If you want to watch the Packers play the Lions at Lambeau Field Sunday night, it'll cost you. The NFL flexed the game to Sunday night since the win-or-go-home implication should be good for TV ratings. There are tickets, but they are expensive. Resale sites like StubHub have plenty of seats, but they're averaging at least $180 plus fees. In sports, the Bucks host Washington tonight, Wisconsin welcomes Minnesota, and Marquette is at St. John's. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Gah, I'm so stressed about my business not being ready for the holidays.
Ooma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Ooma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 35 features.
Ooma?
Yep. Switching to Ooma is a cinch. Starts at $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it. Visit Ooma.com. That's OOMA.com to learn more. Ooma, smart communications for the smarter business.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, it's Tuesday, and you know, I had a mix-up, and so Sandy's here. He's normally here on Mondays, but I'm glad he's here today. You know, Sandy, before we brought in our guests, you and I were talking about Americans' foreign policy, and I know that there are Americans who don't think we should even be involved in the foreign policy of our nation. Do you think we have a right as the citizens of this nation to know what's going on in our names all over the world?
Well, I think a right and an obligation. It seems to me that our foreign policy dictates a great deal about how we operate in our country. It has had a huge effect on our budget. For instance, we have this $850 billion, half of the money that Congress devotes its attention to year in and year out. This last year, the federal funding bill was 50%, over 50%, devoted to the military and its budget, which obviously has everything to do with our foreign policy. Who we've decided our enemies are and how we've decided to arm ourselves and operate ourselves. And we've treated it ever since World War II like it's a patriotic responsibility to, on a bipartisan basis, line up and back the foreign policy which we adopt. And yet, increasingly, our foreign policy is adopted outside of our presence, or outside of the public presence, and it's announced to us. So we find out where it is that we have our sending troops. We find out who it is we've decided are our enemies and who are our friends. We find out after the fact where it is we're talking about expanding NATO. And it sort of ignores a couple of things, but one of the fundamental things it ignores is the fact that we are the gorilla in the world. And what we do causes reactions all across the world. And so we can't just act with impunity. It's sort of a Newtonian principle, Newton's principle, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And that is very true with respect to American foreign policy. The things we adopt as our foreign policies has everything to do with what people on the other side of the ledger, of our international ledger, will do. So when we're acting like China's our ally and we're spending our money and behaving like they're our ally, they'll behave much more like an ally and friend. When we start announcing that China's an enemy that we have to arm ourselves against, well, guess what? They're going to do the same thing because, you know, they're looking at the world from the other side of this prism. Same is true with Russia. Same is true with India. Same is true all across the world. Same is true in South America. And we seem to ignore in the adoption of our foreign policy all of that kind of stuff.
You know, Sandy, it's why I love having this discussion with you. And I know that we anger some listeners because it seems like we're anti-American. And I've heard people say to me, well, you're an anti-American. I said, what are you talking about? If you don't understand, again, the title of this in Newsweek this morning, China is preparing for war. Retired General H.R. McMaster is putting this out that they're preparing for war. And so why would they prepare for war with Taiwan, a little nation?
And incidentally, not a nation. We don't recognize it as a nation specifically according to our policies, our formal policies. Our informal policies have increasingly begun to pretend that it's a nation and to begin to treat it like
we're going to say they're a democracy. Okay. So because they're a democracy, it means we have to defend democracies all over the world? Is that what this is, Sandy?
Well, and they're a newfound democracy. Their democratic principles date back to 22 or 23 years only. The notion that they are separatists is a very, very current notion. And there's a group of people in Taiwan, including many of the business people in Taiwan, who are against this notion of getting at arm's length from China and getting into a militant situation with China, because China and Taiwanese economies are substantially interwoven with one another. Foxconn, one of the biggest businesses in Taiwan, has many of its manufacturing facilities in China proper. And so this is all much more complicated than the rah-rah notions that are adopted by people like General McMaster when they start talking about China preparing for war, which, of course, ignores what we talked about before the pastor was on, which was all of the war games and things that we have been conducting off the coast of China.
You know, Sandy, so yes, China sent 71 aircraft.
Right.
I mean, as small as Taiwan is, 71 aircraft, they weren't sending that as a message to Taiwan. They were sending that as a message to who?
Well, let's look at it, though. We had what we entitled war games. We had war games in the Sea of China. We conducted war games and exercises with South Korea in the Taiwan Straits. All of this before then China did something.
Responded.
Well,
right.
They responded, one, by encircling Taiwan with ships to demonstrate that, look, if we want to put a
blockade
up around, we can do it, okay? And that's called a war game. That's what they were doing. And the 71 aircraft is another version of war games and exercises. And so goose sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, but we don't usually talk about it with that kind of equanimity. We don't say in the context of reporting the Chinese war games that they in all likelihood were conducting them in response to the U.S. war games in the South China Sea.
So North Korea has just said we're going to expand our nuclear weaponry at warp speed. We realize that we need to build more and more nuclear weapons. Why? Because America continues to have the war games with South Korea. Who are they directing those war games at, Sandy? North Korea. North Korea.
Well, and there started being discussions now about deploying nuclear weapons to South Korea, which incidentally, where they are not deployed yet at this point. So I think we just all need to recognize as Americans that the policies we adopt are not simply benign. The rest of the world will react to the policies we adopt, and we have a great deal to do with all of the policies adopted by other countries. And so all of our conduct is not viewed as benign by other countries, just as the conduct of China or Russia, which they would describe to their citizenry as being benign and being done all solely for the purpose of protecting and defending China or Russia, that's the way we discuss our conduct as well. And yet our conduct has equal and opposite reactions, as does the other. So my view is that that institutional government at large, whenever we get to the point of threatening warfare or having warfare, we have had a breakdown in the in that institution's representation of the interests of its people. Because the only victims of warfare, in fact, are all of the people in both countries.
Well, you look at Ukraine and Russia and what is transpiring there, and there's still this, hey, rah, 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 we've got to give even more substantial weaponry to Ukraine. What we're giving them is not enough. We need to give them everything in our arsenal, is what we're hearing people say. And at the end of that, Sandy, what do you think that's going to lead to?
Well, what's it going to look like is a country in physical ruin. And what the settlement...
Which is approaching now.
Well, of course, it's moving substantially in that direction. You can look at Mariupol, you can look at Kharkiv, you can look at the cities in Ukraine, which have been the area of warfare, and it is destroyed. They are destroyed. And it is increasingly becoming that way, even in Kyiv, where they are having constant missile strikes. And so warfare is hell. It is destruction. And human lives are being lost in very rapid numbers on both sides, okay?
Right.
So there are Russian lives being lost, and we can say, well, Russia was the aggressor, so they've earned it. But those people who are getting buried, those Russian soldiers, are at least as victimized as the Ukrainian soldiers who are dying under their gunfire. Because you know what? The people who go to war are ordered to war. The people who go to war aren't the instruments of creating the warfare that they're having to participate in. And I can guarantee you that there are many Vietnam vets who look backward in time and realize that they were victims, and that their brother victims were called Viet Cong.
You know, Sandy, I was talking about this the other day. At the border, Russians are being denied entry into our country. And I asked the question, so Russians are being denied entry into the country. What did the Russian people do? And so why are we denying them access?
Well, and in fact, the Russian people are leaving Russia, presumably because they aren't in favor of what's going on in Russia at the moment, right? So they're actually exercising with their feet. And I suspect that the American answer is, well, they ought to stay in Russia and they ought to vote Putin out of office. Well, everyone recognizes that Putin has established an autocracy, and the notion of having a vote in Russia, the only way that the Russians are going to unseat Putin is through high personal risk conduct on the streets
in
Russia.
So I said, it doesn't make sense to me, Sandy, and I'm just, who am I, that we're accepting Ukrainians, we're accepting Afghanistanians, we're letting them in, but Russians at the border, no.
Yeah.
How does that make any sense?
I don't.
We've got to go to break. Hold the thought. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. Sandy Williams here is my co-host. We'll be right back.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job,
not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hungered in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit LibertyMutual.com to learn more. LibertyMutual.com.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Weather in a Moment brought to you by Wishkosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 41. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 34. Overcast again tomorrow. Chance for snow showers. Daytime highs approaching 38. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Tuesdays, my co-host Sandy Williams is here. Let's go to the phone line. CJ, what's going on, man? What do you say?
First off, Happy New Year to you and Sandy. You know, as I listen to you, it's how convenient of you gentlemen to forget what got us here as far as Taiwan.
And what got us here?
The mere fact that the weakness that this president showed in Afghanistan. Trump wanted to go to 02 in Afghanistan, but he listened to his military advisors. Russia, Putin saw weakness in this president, and China saw weakness in this president.
Where did China see weakness in the president?
That's why they're making the move.
Where did China show weakness in Joe Biden and strength in Donald Trump? Explain that to me.
Okay.
As briefly as you can.
What nation did Putin or Xi invade when Trump was president, Earl? What country?
Well, they certainly. China didn't invade Taiwan. Did they?
Oh, my God. Yeah. They're flying hundreds of military aircraft right over their country. So the mere fact that you guys want to deflect from the weakness of this president, Commander Cut and Run, 13 soldiers lost in Afghanistan.
CJ, here's what Sandy wouldn't even meet with him. But here's what Sandy and I are saying. This is not the foreign policy of this nation is not just over the last 2 years. We're talking about foreign policy.
This is Joe Biden's policy, Earl.
Well, no, CJ. We're talking about foreign policy.
Of course it's not now.
We're talking about the foreign policies of presidents, both Democrat and Republican, for decades.
Who's the president right now, Earl? Who's the president right now?
CJ, you don't even see the magnitude. CJ, you don't understand the magnitude of the conversation we are having, and I'm believing that you don't have the capacity to understand the magnitude of this conversation.
You immediately forget who brought us here, Earl. You conveniently forget who's president and whose
Let me ask you. Joe Biden's been the president a little over 2 years. How long has the Ukraine and Russia been at war?
Oh, my God.
No, I'm asking
Did Russia invade? Oh, yeah, they did. They did, but that was underneath the other Democrat failure, President Obama. They invaded then, and Obama stood by and
let me try one more time. Because what I'm hearing you say is nobody's going to test the United States resolve when there's a Republican president in office. That's clearly what you were saying,
Damn
right?
Great. There you go, Earl. You're right. You're finally right. Yes, that's right. Because they have balls, and they stand up for what they believe, and they do what they say they're going to do. This president wasn't a threat to Putin as he watched him build to 200,000 to 400,000 troops on the border, and he did nothing.
Let me ask you one last time. So while Putin was building the troops on the border, what did you suggest that the United States should do? Go to war with Russia?
No, I'm just going to tell you what this president said. What did this president say? What did this president say? These sanctions were meant to deter, and then they weren't. And he's the only one that could go toe to toe with Putin.
Last thing, CJ.
Putin laughed.
What would you have suggested that Joe Biden do? The only thing he could have done was go to war with Russia. Is that what you're saying we should have done?
Yes. No. He should have showed some balls and stood up in Afghanistan.
How?
By not going to zero, by not defying his military advisors like he did, and threw him under the bus, Sandy.
Sandy, I don't know. I don't know how my name got thrown in there. I hadn't said anything yet, CJ, but, you know, you haven't.
Of course you won't, because they're all facts. Those are all facts.
You haven't repeated anything during this call that you haven't said 20 times in prior calls.
Yeah, but you can't dispute my facts.
Well,
I'm not even. You can't dispute them.
I just don't even want to discuss them, actually.
They are your facts.
Of course you don't, because you can't dispute them.
No. It's not a subject. Here, let me talk for a minute. This is not a matter of dispute. Yes, it's a fact that Biden withdrew from Afghanistan and went to zero. That's a fact. It's a fact.
Cut him off.
So we have prior facts, and this is the problem with politics today: is we take facts and then we connect the dots, and we can't get unfixated from a partisan connection of the dots that relates to what you might say in a debate on TV when you're trying to run for office against somebody and you're trying to persuade an electorate who maybe hasn't thought through the issue very carefully what the answer is. We aren't talking about that. We're talking about much more fundamental issue, which is what should the American foreign policy be and how should we formulate it and how should we pick our enemies and how should we make the decisions that end up creating what is currently a political environment that spends half of its money on the defense.
All right, got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin is sedated and in critical condition today after collapsing from a cardiac arrest last night. CBS medical contributor Dr. David Agus.
The fact that he's not breathing on his own certainly makes me worried, because the sooner you are able to shock him back into a normal rhythm, the sooner you can go back to everything working. And that fact that he's not breathing on his own may tell me there's some brain damage.
Strong storms are hitting several states today. Weather Channel meteorologist Jim Cantore's tracking them
today and also tomorrow, and places like Atlanta, Georgia, and Montgomery, Alabama, tomorrow morning, you may have a bona fide tornado threat.
In Washington, Republicans are officially taking over the House today. CBS's Rebecca Kaplan.
All eyes are on the House of Representatives today as lawmakers gather to elect a new speaker. California Republican Kevin McCarthy has faced a revolt from some on the far right in his bid for the job.
But he may not have enough votes to win it. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mavner with your headlines. Wisconsin college students can pay in-state tuition to attend South Dakota's six public universities next fall. Officials at South Dakota's university say the move should boost enrollment and lead to more graduates staying in South Dakota. About 30% of non-resident students remain in-state once they graduate. Finding affordable child care is still a major challenge in Wisconsin and across the country. This year, over 100,000 people missed work in October because of child care issues. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And while childcare-related absences fell to 59,000 in November, those numbers are still above typical pre-pandemic levels. The strong labor market making it more expensive to hire new workers, so open spots are pricey and tough to find. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My co-host, Sandy Williams, is with me. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Hey, good morning, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Morning, gentlemen. I'm just blown away by how CJ, when you ask him a direct question, and yet he accuses you guys of deflecting everything, and he never answers the question. And that, along with, you know, he talks about how why Russia didn't invade Ukraine when Trump was around. Well, he didn't. And I think the only reason, we all know that if Trump would have been in charge and Russia would have pulled this off, Russia would have been in charge of Ukraine by now. I mean, there is just no doubt about it. And then if you want to also talk about it, in the past, let's talk about Georgia. Who was president when Russia invaded Georgia? I believe it was Bush, a Republican. So to keep blaming Biden, I think Biden is doing a great job, because without it, we would be in World War III right now. That's
that's the other part of this that the CJs of the world don't understand. When you ask them, what is the option? Well, you know, Donald Trump, they would have been afraid of Donald Trump. And so what would you want the United States and Russia to be in war right now? Is he saying that Donald Trump would have had us in a world war with Russia, and that's where we should be? I mean, come on.
Well, we would have, but we wouldn't be involved in it. Putin and Trump were buddies, you know, and Trump would not stand up to Putin if he did this, because they're friends, and there's probably some good money in it for Trump if Russia invaded Ukraine and we started a war.
Hey, Tom, let me ask you, because the conversation Sandy and I were having was based on our foreign policy. And most Americans have no clue whatsoever about our foreign policies. And what Sandy and I are saying is, if we knew what the foreign policies of our nation was, we could push back on spending $858 billion a year on military. We wouldn't need it. As Sandy, as you said earlier, we've been the aggressor in many of these instances, and it's
our conduct has certainly appeared to be aggressive as far as the rest of the world is concerned in a variety of areas. And as we were talking off the air, we have a lot of aircraft carriers. Aircraft carriers are offensive weapons. They're weapons that are used to fight wars on distant shores. They aren't weapons that are typically used to defend a country's own boundaries.
So they're offensive weapons.
They're offensive weapons. We have a lot of them compared to every other navy. So how do you construe that? If you look at how we've constructed ourselves and our military, we've constructed a military designed to fight wars on foreign shores, okay? Which certainly has the potential to make people who live on foreign shores worried.
Nervous, right.
Nervous. And I'm simply saying that if we were involved in America in helping our politicians develop their foreign policy and playing a role in figuring out who are our proper enemies and who aren't, and what are the security interests of America, we might come to vastly different conclusions than we have come to heretofore, ever since Dwight Eisenhower warned us in 1959-60 about the military-industrial complex and what it could do to American society and the American military and the American democracy. He had some very prescient warnings to give America, and we didn't listen. We didn't listen.
You know, Sandy, when you look at it from that perspective and you say, this belief that we have now and the way we conduct ourselves, certainly at the root of it is money, too. Because
I believe that is the big thing right there, is money, that the war machine makes money on everything, and they will create wars. I mean, that's happened in the past. Spanish-American War, things like that, was more created than anything to convince the public that we need to spend that kind of money. And if they're not, then they're not making money. Therefore, you know, we don't have anything, or therefore we'll get invaded. And because we didn't spend this money, we're now liable to be taken over.
Well, you know, it's the old saying, you know, if your only tool is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. and so when you have a politics that is heavily involved with and run by people who are, for instance, in the business of making military vehicles, Oshkosh truck, or military airplanes, Lockheed Martin, those people will look at the world in a context of believing that the problems of the world should be solved through the use of their products. And I'm not saying it's an evil outlook. It's a normal human nature outlook. Lawyers tend to look at everything and see a legal problem. Surgeons look at every medical problem and see a potential surgery. And what Dwight Eisenhower was warning us about was, if you create a military-industrial complex that is as powerful as it might be in America, every problem will begin to look like a military problem, and it will be solved by military expenditures. And so, you know, that's where we're at.
You know, Sandy, it's hard for us as American citizens because we look at ourselves as the good guys, right? We're always the good guys, and it doesn't matter. We don't ever, we come to the rescue.
Incidentally, everybody always looks at themselves as the good guys. I can assure you that the Chinese are painting a picture of their conduct to the Chinese people, saying they're the good guys. We can watch Putin's speeches as he describes the conduct of Russia to the Russian people as being the conduct of good guys. Everybody is talking about protecting their national interest. That's what we talk about. And protecting their way of life, the, you know, the Chinese way of life, the American way of life, the whatever. And so, you know, we, however, have the arrogance to believe that we are in fact the only good guys. And when other people speak about their way of life, they're misled and misguided. And what we need to do is we need to go to those parts of the world and impose our way of life on them. And there are lots of people elsewhere in the world who look at our way of life and say,
we don't want any of that.
We don't want that. We're good.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there's plenty of parts of the world where you can look and say, yeah, they are good. I mean, you can look at Scandinavia and much of Europe and say, you know what? They're living a good life, and they wouldn't want what we have to sell them.
Well, you know, Sandy, when again... We just continue to build and build this powerful, powerful military. I have to ask the question, if we're building such a powerful military and our nukes are the latest and the best nuclear weapons that exist on the planet, why are we continuing to build these other weapons? Let's be honest, the weapons are being built for Russia and for China. Those are the two entities that we are building all of this weaponry really for.
Well, you know, but the rest of the world looks at it, then they look at our conduct and say, yep, well, but then we also look like a country that wants to chip away at different weak countries. You know, we've gone to war in
Grenada,
a bunch of places. We've never gone to war since World War II with anyone that we thought was an equal and opposite,
right.
contender. You know, we went to Vietnam thinking it would be a piece of cake, right? We found out differently. We went to Afghanistan and the Middle East thinking we could kind of throw in some of our special forces and get things done. And, you know, we found out differently. So maybe, you know, we're finding out differently our ability to carry out these adventuresome small warfare things. But we still have a Defense Department that believes we ought to be able to have three wars going on at once. Those aren't wars against China and Russia, and those are three other kinds of wars. So when anyone looks at our defense budget, they look at something that looks quite offensively minded. Our defense budget looks like the defense budget of someone who is interested in international military adventure and offensive conduct.
So when they put the propaganda out that people want to attack us for our way of life, and that's why we have to protect ourselves, even though you have stated that nobody's going to invade this country because of the oceans. We'd see them coming a mile away, but hundreds of miles away.
I mean, we've got something that no other country, China has the Pacific Ocean to its east, but we're bounded by, you know, well, we have Mexico to the south and Canada to the north, and so we've got to make sure those are safe places. And I can assure you that if Mexico was going to join the Russian-led version of NATO, we'd have a lot to say about that. And we would definitely be taking military action to make sure that didn't happen. So we should all recognize that we have a unique situation here, and we have a uniquely safe situation with respect to the fear of invasion.
Tom, you're back. Go ahead, sir.
I just wanted to quick read a little thing here. Beware the leader who bangs the drums of war in order to whip the citizenry into patriotic fervor. For patriotism is indeed a double-edged sword. It both emboldens the blood just as it narrows the mind. And when the drums of war have reached a fever pitch and the blood boils with hate and the mind has closed, the leader will have no need in seizing the rights of his citizenry, infused with fear and blinded by patriotism, will offer up all of their rights unto the leader, and gladly so. How do I know? For this is what I have done. I am Caesar.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it, man. You know,
Thank you, man,
and thank you for listening. You know, Sandy.
Well, but you know what he was describing on earlier shows also, we've talked about my concern about how patriotism is played with in politics and how patriotism is required and how it's been used to ruin the lives of Colin Kaepernick and others, and how patriotism has become a blind ideological kind of almost theological requirement for everyone to exhibit. And, you know, it has become that drumbeat that Julius Caesar was apparently talking about in that quote from a couple of thousand years ago.
You know, Sandy, I wonder if people really think that, you know, we can defeat China in a war, we can defeat Russia in a war as if it's a football game, right?
Well, and
we're going to be the winners.
And what purpose would the war have? I mean, do we really think that China wants to try to overtake and occupy the United States? It's impossible. Impossible. Are we in an ideological war with China? Are we afraid that their ideological version of government, communism, is going to spread to America? Well, we're a democracy. We'll either vote for it or not, according to the best view of the American people. And so I have a great deal understanding, a great deal of problem understanding what it is that we see as the risk. Russia has exhibited, until the Ukraine invasion, which many would suggest was potentially the result of the drum beating regarding NATO into Ukraine, but Russia has had a very limited record of invading any neighboring countries. The Eastern European countries were awarded to Russia by Churchill and Stalin in the Yalta agreements, and it was not the result of warfare. So you know, there was the Finnish, the battle over Finland, which, you know, Finland was a young country that had been formed out of the old Romanov Empire after World War I. But, I mean, other than that, there's almost no record of Russia having in the modern age, the USSR, conducting any aggressive warfare whatsoever.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is still here. We'll be right back.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Weather in a Moment brought to you by Wishgosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 41. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 34. Chance of snow showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 38. Overcast skies. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is still here. And our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We are really, Sandy and I are curious about your thoughts when we have these conversations about what we see as our nation being the aggressor in many different arenas.
Yeah, interestingly, I was just thinking, we talk about conduct of people that we describe as our enemies, and there have been people somewhere, somehow in the bowels of our policymaking, we've decided who our enemies are, and we've decided now we can see that China and Russia are seem to be getting closer to one another in some kind of an axis of evil.
Yes.
I'm confident that soon we will see an axis of evil as a descriptor of them. And what we should really understand is we have driven them into one another's arms.
Yes.
We started the trade war with China. We declared, under Trump, we declared China to be essentially an economic enemy of ours, and we were going to take steps to try and isolate them. We have imposed a worldwide sanction. We have adopted a policy which has implemented an almost worldwide sanction against Russia with respect to its economy. And so Russia has very limited people it can turn to, mainly India and China, as to be potential trading partners. And so what do we have? We're beginning to see an economic trading partner relationship between Russia and China. We have pushed Russia into the arms of China. And make no mistake about it, Russia will be China's stepchild here, but it's our doing, and we've caused this. And if we stand back and now pretend that this is somehow a nefarious meeting of an axis of evil trying to combine their power to do something nefarious in our direction, look, it's exactly the opposite of that. We've driven these two countries into the arms of one another, and yes, we've driven them into the arms of one another with a negative view towards us because we have adopted a very negative view about both of them.
You know, Sandy, we have said to Iran, hey, you guys are giving drones to Russia. And we want you to stop it. Now, wait, we're talking to Iran, who we've
sanctioned.
Declared as our...
Yeah, we've sanctioned them almost as far as we can. There are apparently other sanctions we could pull out of the hat, but it's a short list. There's a long list of sanctions, and there's a short list of sanctions we have not yet imposed on Iran.
But then we tell them, hey, wait a minute. Don't you sell any more weapons
right
to Russia. Those, guess what? Because those drones you're selling them, they're causing more havoc to Ukraine. Well, we're arming Ukraine, right?
Right.
So how are we then going to tell another nation that financially is in ruin because we don't want anyone trading with them, that they need to stop, and then we turn around and find out that we've got those drones that some of our companies are parts to the drones we're manufacturing.
It's complicated, isn't it? And the other thing is that there are proxy wars ongoing in the Mideast, where obviously Iran has a much more direct interest than we do with respect to at least their geographic boundary and their geographic interests. There are a number of proxy wars that involve Iran arming the one side and the United States arming the other side. And so the notion that we can go to Iran and say, incidentally, but you can't arm Russia in the proxy war that's ongoing in Ukraine between the United States and Russia, it's just a very interesting twist.
and that's why it's important that the American people know these things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you knew it and saw it from that perspective, you would have to say, it's kind of crazy for us to tell Iran that they can't sell any of these weapons. We're the number one manufacturer of arms and selling all over the world, but we're telling another nation they can't do it?
Well, I know. I suspect one of the reasons is that apparently Iran, for all that we've tried to do to restrict their technical capabilities, have become very expert at the manufacture of drones. Their drones are apparently very, very effective. And
we're surprised.
Yeah, and that makes us even more unhappy.
Yeah. You know, Sandy, man, I just know that you and I are going to continue to have these conversations. And the phone lines are always open for anybody who thinks that we are saying something that is un-American. We are not. And that's why we always open the phone lines to anybody who wants to refute what we are saying. The only thing we are saying is, if you're going to refute what we are saying, don't come with the kinds of stuff that we hear from CJ, facts. Because his facts.
Well, his facts are attuned to very specific, they're anecdotal. And we're not talking about anecdotes here. We're talking about procedures and policies and how it is that we can improve America. I mean, my purpose is to talk about all of this because we are intent, I think, on trying to get an electorate that is interested in improving America, making us all that we can be. And one of the things that seems to be standing in the way of making us all we can be is
military spending,
which has become a huge problem, I think, with respect to our capacity to solve the problems of the children of America.
You know, Sandy, and I don't know of any other radio program that is taking this on consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to radio, so I know it's not being talked about anywhere else because it's considered taboo and anti-American to talk about it. Well, you need to ask yourself the question, why is it anti-American?
Well, what is America? You know, what is patriotism? And I had one of the shows when you weren't here, I decided to feature that question. We've got to come to grips with figuring out that patriotism is really all about the Six Sigma process of wanting people wanting to improve America, making it all it can be, and that being critical of American policies is like being the guys at Toyota that made Toyota the very best cars in the world rather than General Motors. General Motors sent people to the dungeon who had criticisms, and at Toyota they lauded them and gave them medals.
All right, we got to go. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. Been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. Money.
Sure don't matter tonight.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.